welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
If you know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no way you can make it without the Lord, why don't you put those blessed hands together and celebrate God tonight? That was cute. That was pretty for McKinney, but if it was nobody but the divine that pulled you out right in the nick of time, why don't you celebrate him like you know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no way. Truly, we are in the spirit of Christ that calls us and compels us to come to his house of worship on a Tuesday to magnify and celebrate his holy and righteous name. We honor the set leader of this house at this time, Deacon Nix. We thank God for your leadership. And to Minister Lingam, we thank God for your hospitality as well. To all of the diaconate ministry and the ministers and leaders of this fine church, thank you so very much for thinking of me to ask me to share in this revival series. Have the opportunity to have with me what I believe as the best church in North Philadelphia. Don't say amen. I didn't say South Philly. I said North Philly. Members and leaders of the Bright Hope Church who came on a Tuesday to celebrate this worship experience with us. Thank you so very much to our diaconate minister who's present, our trustees, President's Council, our choir. Thank you so very much. I'm always honored and appreciative for this person to be present. She is 99 years young. Reverend Crawford, she's present with us. She is my boss. So to those on the first three rows, you may hear a faint that's Reverend Crawford celebrating her God. Lest I be guilty of procrastination, I think there's a familiar passage of scripture that I want to read in your hearing. We have heard it before. I want to revisit it. The book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22, I invite you to please stand if you can. Genesis chapter number 22. There you will find these words. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the Lord or with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. He himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." Many translations says Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You may be seated in the very presence of the Lord. I want to tag a topic to this text and preach for a little while from this thought: it's only a test. Amen. Can you help me encourage your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, I don't know what you're going through, but I stand as a witness to let you know it's only a test. That's the wrong neighbor. That neighbor didn't get excited. Look at another neighbor and tell them, neighbor, oh neighbor, it's only a test. That neighbor didn't get excited. Touch yourself and say, self, it's only a test. That's the message that's couched away in our text, because at the time of our text, brothers and sisters, the father of the faith, Abraham, is confronted with some unforeseen test.
Yeah, amen.
This, however, church, wasn't Abraham's first time at the rodeo, because Abraham had experienced tests before. And as the text commences, we are informed that it happened sometime later.
Yeah.
The later that is in reference to is uncovered, church, in chapter 21. In chapter 21, God promises Abraham and Sarah, listen, in your old age that you would bear a child.
Yeah.
Sarah, church, overhears God's response to and promise to Abraham. And when Sarah hears what God has to say to Abraham, you know what Sarah did? Sarah did like many of you would do. Sarah had the audacity to laugh at God. In a real sense, Sarah doubted the power of God, and because she did not believe in the promise promised, she decided to help God out. Sarah gifts Abraham with a hall pass wrapped in flesh named Hagar. Hagar, and because of this hall pass, Ishmael was born. And because Sarah wanted to dictate how the blessings of God ought be flowed in their life, they discovered that the longer she had her hand on it, the longer the problems persisted. This episode of Abraham and Sarah illustrates unto us that whenever you try to dictate how the blessings of God should flow in and through your life, and whenever you decide to determine what ought to be the blessings on your life, that there are some times that all of us try to put our hand on what God has for us. And every time we put our hand in the midst of it, the truth is we mess things up. Notice, church, what happened when they took their hands off and allowed God to be God. God blessed Sarah's womb. Right before there was Viagra, God blessed her womb. Right before there was Cialis, God blessed the womb. And Isaac was the recipient the blessing that came. And the text illustrates unto us that God will give you and I a testimony to reflect upon as we go through our next test. And I'm trying to encourage somebody today that this is not the first test that you've seen in your life, and this won't be the last test. But as you are going through your testing moment, God will gift you a test. God will gift you a testimony for your test. It is Isaac became the evidence that God gave them to reflect upon when they go through the next test. Here it is. There are a couple lessons, church, that we must learn about the test we experience. I'll tell you my three good points, and I'll sit down to my seat, and we'll go home together. Notice the first point of the text. It tells us the proctor of the test. Let church say the proctor of the test, the proctor. Notice verse number one. It uncovers unto us, Deacon Nick, some shocking revelation. Notice the unearthing revelation that's revealed unto us. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Notice the text. It suggests that God doesn't give the permission to Satan to administer the test, or some other emissary, just like God gave Satan when he tempted Job or Jesus. But the text tells us that it does suggest that the corporate behind the testing, the administrator of the test, the proctor of the test, is God and God alone. Hear the text, child of God. God just doesn't divinely permit the test, but sometimes God will proctor over the test too. The lesson of the text is this: stop giving Satan so much credit. Stop giving Satan so much power over your situation. Stop giving Satan so much authority over your life, because Satan cannot touch you, or Satan cannot test you, unless he gets permission from the Lord to do so. But sometimes God has a way of hand delivering our trouble to us. Sometimes, child of God, God would put on his UPS uniform, and he would drive his brown truck to your address, get out the truck and ring your doorbell and hand deliver you adversity wrapped in a bow. Sometimes God has a way of showing up at your house to give you a gift. Sometimes, child of God, you must learn that God loves you and I so much that he would test you to strengthen you. But I love it because God, what I love about God is this, that God, though he is proctoring your test, he is well aware how much you can bear. Yeah. God is well aware how much you can handle. God is well aware how much you can bear the burden of your pain. And aren't you glad to know that you have a loving God in your life that knows everything about you? He knows every single solitary thing about you. And because he knows how much you can bear. And I think I have just one witness around the church who can testify that I am a living witness that if it had not been for the omnibenevolent power of the Lord, I would have lost my mind in it. But I thank God that he loves me so much that when the weightiness of my burdens seem to weigh me down, he lifts up my heavy load. And is there a witness today who can testify that I am a witness of how the Lord proctors test? That's why you don't have to throw yourself a pity party. That's why you don't have to throw in the towel. That's why you don't have to sit and soak in your tears and fall into the state of depression. Because the reality is, if God is the proctor of your test, God knows what you can handle. And whatever you need, the proctor has a way of supplying it for you. I wish I had a witness who can testify that if you need peace, the proctor will give you peace, because he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of my peace. If you need healing, the proctor, he'll give you healing, because he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals thee. If you need protection, somebody can testify that he's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. Whatever you need the Lord to do, he'll give it to you. Why? Because my God shall supply. Oh, it is proctor of the test, but let me hurry. The purpose of the test. Let the church say the purpose for the test. The purpose for the test. God calls Abraham, and Abraham answers. Notice what God called Abraham for. Verse number 2. Said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. I want you to sacrifice him on the altar as a burnt offering. Listen, for my glory. In essence, God says, Abraham, that blessing that you got, I want it. Hear the text. Sometimes your biggest blessing can be your biggest burden. After all, Abraham, he had to endure. Abraham had to endure to get the blessing. Now God is saying, Abraham, listen, I want you to sacrifice that blessing. Listen to the raw imagery of the text. I want you, Abraham, to take your blessing and cut its throat. Abraham, I want you to take your blessing and kill it. Abraham, I want you to take your blessing and burn it. Abraham, I want you to take your blessing and watch it die. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you hear the theological tension in the text? Hold on, God. Now you know how long I prayed for Isaac. Hold on, God. You know how long I've waited for my Isaac. Hold on, God. You know how long I've travailed and cried over my Isaac. Lord, you know how much I love Isaac. I mean, he looks like me. I mean, he acts like me. I mean, he has mannerisms like me. I mean, he talks like me. God, you really want me to give you my Isaac, whom I love? And God says, yes, it is. Scholar says, suggests that Abraham was so in love with Isaac that he began to drift away from God. Come here, church. Whenever your Isaac seemingly takes the place of God, God says, I want it. That one that's near and dear to your heart, God says, I want it. That one that you can't live without, God says, I want it. That one that you can't move without, God says, I want it. Whatever you love the most, God says, give it to me. Yeah. That's God's word for you, church, that whatever our Isaac may be, God says, I want it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I come down to your street? That job that you have made your Isaac, God says, I want it. That house that you made your Isaac, God says, I want it. That title that you pride yourself around and you boast about, God says, I want it. Your money, God says, I want it. Your pedigree, God says, I want your Isaac. Because some of us think we so bad and bougie that we made it by our own bootstrap. We pulled our own self up by our own bootstraps. But sometimes we have sorry, people in the church who's so high and falute and sadiddy that they have their nose so far up in the air that if it rain, they'll drown. But sometimes God has to let you know that where you are, I brought you. What you know, I taught you. What you have, I gave you. Give it back to me.
It is.
It says, it is. The proctor, the purpose, thoroughly says, the posture during the test. I'm almost there. Can your church help me when say the posture during the test? Notice Abraham had the proper perspective. He didn't know where to go. But he trusted that if he started moving, God would direct his steps. And beloved, can you walk by faith even when you don't agree with the plan God has presented? I'm trying to help you today. Even when God's plan doesn't make sense, even when God's plans frustrates you, even when God's plans are out of kilter and unorthodox, can you still walk with God? And Abraham's trek suggests to us that though he is oblivious to the plans of God, he still made up his mind that as I go with him, I'm going to trust that he will order my steps and my stops. He says, as I walk with him, I'm going to trust that he's a man that he shall not lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. As I go with him, I'm going to trust that step by step, the plan that he promised will be ordered unto me. And I wonder today, is there anyone present who's willing to take the journey with God even when you can't trace him? Can you take the journey with God even when you have a pending prognosis? Can you take the journey with God even though you understand that you have some adversity at work? Can you take the journey with God despite the exposed infidelity? Can you take the journey with God? Can I help you, church, despite the fact that we don't have a pastor, can you trust God that as we're walking with him, he has this thing already worked out? Is there a witness around the church who can testify that I'm going to walk every step of the way? Because faith is not faith when you have the facts. But faith becomes faith when you cannot see, but you're still walking. Faith becomes faith when you still can trust. That's why the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think I have one witness in the room who can trust the word that I'm going to walk by faith and not proper perspective, but also you have to have the proper partnership. Let the church say proper partnership. Here it is. He recognized that everybody couldn't go up the mountain with him. Here it is, church. Here it is, church. It's going to be tight, but it's going to be right. Can I just tell you? I'm going to close my eyes when I say this. Can I tell you, church, stop allowing seasonal people to occupy sacred places. Here it is. You have to learn how to leave some folk at the foot of the mountain. Because the mountain was never designed for everybody to journey up. And the problem that many of us have is this: we think that just because they journeyed with us to the mountain, that it's meant for them to go up the mountain with us. But many of us miss our breakthroughs because we're hiking up the mountain with people who aren't ordained to go up the mountain with us. I'm trying to help you today. So what they left? Tell them Negroes thank you, because they
anyone meant to go up the mountain with us. And I think I have a witness or two in the room who can testify that I thank God that some folk had to leave, left at the foot of the mountain, because God would have not been manifested in my life had I took them up the rough side with me. Is there a witness today who can testify that you have to leave some folk in the valley?
Okay. Okay. I hear you. What should I do to the folk who were left at the foot of the mountain? Because I've been hanging with them for all these years, and they've been with me through thick and thin. I hear you. Can I bless you? Go to Walgreens. Aisle number 12. That's by the wall. The Hallmark section. Go down to the Hallmark section and get you a thank you card. Pick up your thank you card and go on down a little further and get your condolence card. Get your condolence card and tell them sorry for the lost. Secondly, get that thank you card and tell them thank you for where you brought me through, because I'm better where I am right now. Is there a witness in the room who can testify that I had to leave some people behind because what God has for me, they couldn't journey with me? Is there a witness here today who can testify that I thank God that some people have been left behind because I'm stronger now, I'm wiser now, I'm better now? Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, stop pulling people with you to the mountain.
It is. I'm almost there. Tells us proper perspective, proper partnership. Also tells us about the proper priority. Let the church say proper priority. They get to the designated place. And Abraham says to his servants, stay here. The boy and I, we got somewhere to go. And we got something to do. Said the boy and I, we're going to go to worship. Abraham saw his test as an opportunity to worship God. Might I suggest to you that your problems are a mere prerequisite for you to praise? Your tests are an opportunity for you to thank him. Your struggles are a reality for you to shout unto him. Your weeping ought to translate into worship. Your bruises, you ought to start blessing him. And instead of you complaining about it, instead of you throwing a pity party about it, you better learn how to throw yourself a praise party. And in the midst of your test, you better learn how to start thanking God for your test. In the midst of your problems, you better learn to start praising God. In the midst of your problems, in the midst of your worrying, you better learn how to start worshiping God. Somebody here today, you came loaded with some problems, but you better learn how to start lifting up your hands and opening up your mouths to worship the name of the Lord. But notice the text, beloved, that despite the elements they had to carry, the wood, the fire, and the knife, they still went to worship. When they made it, they noticed they didn't complain about it, but they carried their elements to worship. If you can be honest tonight, many, if not all of us, came to worship with the elements. Many of us came tonight with the wood. Many of us came tonight with the fire. Many of us came tonight with the knife. Many of us came with the wood of financial struggles. Many of us came with the knife called adversity. Many of us came with the fire called frustrations, carrying them on the back of our around shoulders. But the reality is that you mustered up enough strength to make it to the house of worship. And since you're in worship tonight, you ought to be able to lift up your hands. Since you're in worship tonight, you ought to be able to open up your mouth. Since you're in worship tonight, you ought to be able to thank God for all he's done for you. And I think I have just one witness tonight who don't mind testifying that if it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't have made it this far. I think I just have one witness tonight who can testify that out of all the hell I've been through, I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. After all the hell I've been through, I'm going to enter into it, of course, with praise. After all the hell I've been through, I'm going to bless his name. Why, McKinney, the Lord is good. I think I just have one witness in the room who can testify that you serve a good God. Is there anybody in the room today who don't mind letting the world know that I have issues, but I can bring my issues to a loving God? Because the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And I have a funny feeling and a sneaky suspicion that somebody didn't come to church to look cute. Somebody didn't come to church to look pretty. Somebody came to church to worship him. Where are my worshipers at who don't mind testifying that I don't care if I ruin my stockings? I don't care if I run my mascara down. As good as God has been to me, I can't afford to sit and look as if I'm sucking on sour lemons. To sit and look as if I'm constipated by the face. To sit and look as if I'm sitting on a barbed wire fence. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Is there anybody here tonight that don't mind shouting hallelujah? Hallelujah is the highest praise. And if you love him, if you're not ashamed, open up your mouth and worship. Worship. Yes. It is. I'm out of here now. Tells us also, fourthly and finally, about the place of the test. It is that they had it up the mountain that we know as Mount Moriah. Uh-huh. Mount Moriah was the place that Abraham was able to experience the grace of God. As they were walking, Isaac inquired, Daddy, I see the wood. Daddy, I see the fire. But Daddy, where's the offering? Abraham responded, son, God will provide. I like it because, church, Abraham did not know how God was going to do it. Only thing Abraham did know was that God was going to do it. Abraham did not know how God was going to make the way. But Abraham did, in fact, know that God wouldn't make a way. Abraham did not know where God would make the provisions. But Abraham did know that God would provide. Abraham, church, did not know the details, but he knew that if he trusted the Lord, that the Lord would lead him to where he needed him to be. And it happened that as they were heading or walking up on one side of the mountain, that God was sending a ram up on the backside. And that's how God does, doesn't he? He will allow what you need to meet you to where you need to be. And here's the shouting crescendo of the text, and I'm out of here. God's got a ram in the bush waiting for you. Can you help me preach to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, I don't know what you need, but God has a ram waiting on you. You didn't shout. Can I tell you, Church of the Redeemer, you waited on the pastor. But can I tell you that as you're walking, God has already had the ram walking up the other side of the mountain. And can I tell you, church, that what you need, God has a ram waiting on you. And that's my word for you. I don't know how things are going to turn around in your life, but one thing I do know, though I don't know how, I know who. God will provide. And somebody needs to know that tonight, that amidst your problems, you have a problem solver. God will provide. Somebody shout today, God will provide. Come on, shout it out loud. God. Come on, shout it like you mean it. God will provide. Come on, shout it so the alley rats can hear you. God will provide. Come on, shout it loud. God will. How do I know? Because I've seen him do it before. And the Bible says that he's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. And if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you serve a God who's the same God, lift up your hand, open up your mouth, and shout, he will. Come on, shout, he will. Seen him make ways before. I've seen him heal before. I've seen him deliver before. I've seen him open doors before. And if you trust him and never doubt, he'll do it. Won't the Lord do it? If you know he will, why don't you high five your neighbor and tell your neighbor? Come on, high five a neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I don't know what you need from the Lord, but the Lord will provide. Look at another neighbor. Grab their hand. Come on, grab their hand. You ain't moved yet. Grab, 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 grab. Grab their hand. Don't hold their hand like it's a dead fish, but hold. Yes, Lord. Hold their hand like you know you're saved. Hold their hand like you know you're sanctified. And tell their neighbor, neighbor, whatever you need, the Lord, hey, he will. Yes, he'll provide. Have you seen him do it? If you've seen him do it, somebody shout, he'll do it. He'll do it. Yes. 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 Do I have just one witness who will mind testifying that he's a way out of no way? He's a bridge over troubled waters. He's my rock in a weary land. He's my shelter in a stormy blast. And if you don't mind testifying that I'm not gonna wait until my ram comes, but I'm a shout like it's already here. Open up your mouth and shout. Shout. What you waiting on? Give him glory. Give him praise. Open up your mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let everything. Let everything. Let everything. Praise the Lord. Praise. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. You ought to give him glory. He's wild. Yes! Yes! I'm in my seat. Can I ask this question? How will you respond when your ram intersects your altar? How will you respond when God allows your ram to meet your altar? Somebody tonight, you have some ram-like problems. But the text tells us that we ought see our place as the place called Jehovah Jireh. That the Lord will provide. Beloved, today, I don't know what your altar is. I don't know what the ram you need the Lord to provide. But you ought to see tomorrow's adversity as the launching path for God to land his provisions. The reality is some came today. You came today loaded with your issues. Somebody needs to know that Jehovah Jireh is in the room.
Amen. Thank you.
Brother Chair, if you don't mind, I can extend the opportunity. There may be somebody tonight who's saying that, hey, Brother Pastor, I have some problems that only God can bring me out of. Can I tell you? He's more than enough. If you're here today, beloved, and you do not have Jesus in your heart, Brother Chair prayed an awesome prayer tonight. He said that the Lord would bring individuals down the street and get saved tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus as the center focal point of your life, you want to be saved. Or you're saved and you're not growing where you're going. Or you're ready to come back home to Church of the Redeemer. If you're here tonight, why don't you step out by faith, for faith, with faith, give God your heart. Give these leaders your hand. Is there one tonight? God, my healer. If you're here tonight, step out, step out, step out. Yes. Yes, Lord. Well, we see there's none, but yet there's room. Their second call is for those who have some problems that you need the Lord to work out for you. You're saying, hey, I'm saved, but I have some burdens that I need to lay at the altar. That's you. Meet me at this altar so we can pray for you tonight. Where are you? Where are your sister? Where are your brother? Step out, step out, step out, step out. You're more than enough. Are you ready tonight? Oh, you're more than enough.
More than enough.
You're more than enough. Come on, let's give God for a saved house. Give God praise for a saved house.